Yes, good morning. And I don't like your weather one bit. It's sunny, but there was frost on the roof as I looked out the window today. I thought, oh, no. Anyway, it really is great to be with you. Like was mentioned 2 years ago, exactly, around about this time, the choir was here. And, of course, it was the first time we'd been here at, you say Blaisdell or Blaisdell? How is it? Blaisdell. Okay, try and remember that. And everybody from the choir. How many of you hosted people from the choir? Anybody here? I know a couple of gals talked to me on the way in, said they'd had, I think, quite a big group stayed upstairs. But anyway, they sent their regards. How many of you heard the choir? Okay, a few of you. Anyway, they sent their love, their greetings, muchos saludos de Colombia, and all that kind of good stuff. I'm not quite sure if this is supposed to be just a report this morning on what's happening down there, but it is Sunday morning, and I think it's important that we think of some of the things that concern us as women and that are universal. Women have a woman's heart, don't we? And we share concerns whether we live in Africa, whether we live in South America, whether we live in the United States. Anywhere in the world, women are women. And we've been dealing with a lot of things lately down there related to broken families, not only child abuse, but wife abuse, which is, I believe, rampant in the whole world today. And thinking of the promises that God has for us just for living the Christian life on a daily basis. I like to think of heaven. I'm 61 and maybe I'm a little bit young to think of heaven. I don't think so. I can't wait to get there. And the longer I live, the better it looks. And it's been of encouragement to me over the last maybe 10 years as I begin to mature, I hope, in my Christian life, to realize that the promises for heaven began when you and I accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Ephesians 1 is a great passage where it speaks of we live in the heavenlies. And that doesn't mean that we're not any earthly good, and that doesn't mean that we're not plugged into daily life. Because we still have to wash dishes, we still wash clothes, we still get ready, we go to work, we have babies, we have grandbabies. Life is life. But I think it's been just recently that I've really been able to begin to put the things together and realize that our faith in the Lord isn't just for the future. And that his presence is so sweet with us each day. When we were home back in 2001, a good retired pastor friend of ours over in Canada introduced me to F.B. Meyer. I don't know how many of you have heard of F.B. Meyer. Raise your hand. We have a few soulmates here present. And he works with the Christian Salvage Mission, which salvages books and sends them to third world countries where people still read. Unfortunately, in our modern society here, we don't read enough. And so he started salvaging F.B. Meyer for me because he was a great fan of F.B. Meyer, and he gave me a couple of just really special little volumes, the one called The Present Tenses of the Christian Life. How many of you have read that or seen it? Okay. Well, I just wanted to share a couple of thoughts from the first two chapters of that book this morning before I tell you a little bit about Ruth Rios, about, several other ladies down there that I'd like to introduce to you so that you can maybe connect a little better with something of what's happening with the ladies in other places. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much because you are the living, the almighty, the ever-present God. Thank you for the privilege of worshiping you and worshiping your Son, Jesus Christ, this morning. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who guides us in your word and who leads us in your ways day by day. And thank you, Lord, for being able to be here, and thank you for each one present. Lord, you know our needs. You know each one of us has a full heart. And Lord, we come to you, and we just ask you to fill us. And we ask you to meet our needs this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. If I cry often, it's because I'm a crier. And we have 3 children. And of those 3, why 2 have rejected the Lord. And our oldest girl does not have children, but our son does. And I'll be meeting my new little grandbaby on Tuesday. She's 5 months old. But little Tara, who's 3, and the 5-month-old one, their mother is not a believer, and she has overtly rejected the gospel. So it's hard to think of visiting there, and she's not very happy about even the name of Jesus being mentioned. So I asked to pray for little Tara and little Maya, and also for Holly, my daughter-in-law. I guess I was touched this morning seeing these little ones, and just the privilege we have of meeting and of praising God together and of being able to share with these little ones the love of Jesus. Anyway, the little book called Present Tenses of the Christian Life, and F.B. Meyer, well, along with how many, you must have heard of Tozer, many of you. Okay, well, Tozer was kind of the tail end of this group of Puritan thinkers, theologians, men who lived close to God and weren't ashamed of it. Anyway, F.B. Meyer wrote a little book called The Present Tenses of the Christian Life, and he tells about a monk, Brother Lawrence, who lived in the 17th century. His job in the monastery was down in the kitchen, and he stoked the hearth, and he baked the bread, and he cooked the soup, and it was a very monotonous job. And one day, in the middle of winter, he went out for a walk, and the story goes that as he walked along and as he looked at the trees, dead to all outward appearance sake, no grass, bleak, somber landscape, that a thought just suddenly came to him. He began to think of the Lord's commission, Matthew 28:20. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And lo, what does it say? I am with you some of the time. I will be with you when you get to heaven. I'm here now, but I'm leaving. So much for all that you've seen the last 3 years. Is that what it says? What does it say? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And of course, scriptures say that heaven and earth will pass away. My word will never pass away. And when heaven and earth do pass away, what will there be? Eternity will be with him. So Brother Lawrence thought, these trees are going to bud and they're going to blossom. They're going to bloom. They're going to have leaves again because summertime is coming. And he went back to his little kitchen. He went back to his hearth. He went back to baking bread and making soup. But he was never the same again. And the same can be for us. You and I face, as human beings, as women, probably some of the most monotonous tasks on the face of the earth, right? And you who are career women, hey, you're out of the house, right? But you have to come back home. And if you're a working mother, you've got a double job. Nobody said that careers were fun. Well, they said they were fun when you were in college. But then reality crashed in. And for those of us who are grandmas, and for those of us who are seniors, life is still monotonous. It's the same thing. And the wisest man on earth said, that's where it's at. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity, said Solomon. So we have our burdens, we have our cares. And where does that all fit in with dead, apparently dead leaves, dead branches, dead trees? It's because God has said through our Lord, I will be with you always. There are three conditions for being able to disfrutar. What's the English? Being able to enjoy. Being able to flourish and realize that He is with me. Number one, my will must be subject to the Father's will. That was a nice little chorus on obedience, right? It's hard to obey. I was a rebellious kid. I was the one that always got in trouble. I was the one that always got spanked because my brother had this just angelic smile, 3 years older than I was. And, of course, he made me so mad. He always teased me, and then I was the one that got into trouble and had a hard time obeying. And we have a hard time obeying, whether you're young, whether you're old. We have a struggle with ourselves, but we also have a struggle with the fact that somebody is over us, and we need to obey Him, and that's the Lord. We need to recognize who God is for me. He wasn't less yesterday. It wasn't in some far-off hillside that He said to His disciples, I am with you always. He said it for all times. And you know, when you read in John 14, 15, 16, those last words of comfort that the Lord had for His disciples, they knew something really drastic was going to happen. They really hadn't believed in that Last Supper that He was going to die. They just couldn't understand it. And that's why they did what they did when they ran away in the garden. Because they hadn't remembered that He said, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. So they needed at that point to recognize who God was for them. Always, constant. He is faithful. Now, when I think of faithful, you know, the song Great Is Thy Faithfulness, I do want to put a plug in for the new CD. Why? Because Great Is Thy Faithfulness is on here, and we actually sing one of the choruses in English. Now, take heart. The whole thing isn't in Spanish. We have stuck an occasional little chorus, an occasional little verse in there in English, just to kind of plug you right back in, and you'll enjoy Holy, 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 because the fellas sing the first verse in English, and I think it's very pretty, but then I'm biased. Anyways, there is a place of quiet, there is a place of rest, there is a place of comfort, simply knowing that God is here, now, today, and not just here while we're together. This is kind of nice, we all kind of get together to think Christian thoughts, to think about the Lord, but He's with you when you leave here, He's with you as you face the challenges of the afternoon. He's with you tomorrow morning with your responsibilities, with your heartaches, with your desires, with your dreams. He knows all that because He is here. He is present. Psalm 119, 151. Psalm 119, 151. Says, you are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. You are near. And I know there's many times in my life when I felt that He's not. And I know there's times in your life when you have felt He's not. But God's Word says that He is near. He's right there. And I think the one of the most wonderful truths of the Christian life that was shown throughout the Lord's ministry here on earth is that He cares about the little things in your life. He cares about your heartache. He cares about that secret place in your life where it hurts too much to tell anybody. He's there. He's present. And he wants to be a part of that. But we need to listen to him and we need to obey him. How do we listen? Well, when you come out of that closet of prayer in the morning, and some of you don't have time to even go in the closet, much less pray, right? It's panic from the minute you get up till you get home. And you know, God understands that. I remember at one point with my three children, did you ever have a place, you who have had children, that was actually private at home, you know, when they're little? I used to think at least the bathroom, but no, there's no way you can lock the bathroom with little kids because it's too risky, you know. You don't know what's going to happen out there, so, oh well. You know, so they come bursting into the bathroom, they come bursting into the bedroom. There is no place, there is no point, there is no time when you're not on call. God knows that. But God isn't just on call. He's there. This is F.B. Meyer's point. Okay. Do you ever talk to God out loud? Now, that's probably not acceptable today because if anybody hears you, they're going to think, oh, dear. She's prematurely going off the edge. And Meyer suggests, he says, talk to God audibly. Don't you think Enoch talked to God? It says Enoch walked with God. Well, generally you don't walk with somebody unless you're talking to them. And it's just nice to talk, nice to converse. The psychiatrist who lectured us when I was in nurses training and doing the intuitive psych course, he said the difference between neurotic people, which supposedly we all are, and the psychotics, which are the ones who've kind of gone off the edge, is that the neurotic people build their castles in the air, but the psychotics live in the castle. And a lot of times I think the psychotics are happier than us, the neurotics, because they don't know they're just living in their little castles. And unfortunately, as Christians, we can sometimes be neurotic psychotics because we take this special time out when we're going to pray to the Lord, and it's like we can only reach him in a certain place in a certain time when he's there. He's ever present. The present tense of the Christian life. We don't speak in past tenses. We don't speak in future tense. We think of the Lord and his presence as an ever-present tense. Talk to God. Enoch walked with him. Our consolation is that his presence will go before us. And let's look at Exodus 33:14. Exodus 33:14. This is a great chapter. I like it because it's the one where Moses asks to see God's glory. And God says, no man can see God and live. So I'll tell you what, Moses, I'm going to just put you kind of in a little cranny of a rock, and I'm going to go by, and you can look on my back. That's kind of the way I understand it. But it's interesting that Moses here is asking for a reaffirmation, an assurance that they won't be alone in that desert as they're wandering the desert. And he says in verse 14, I have new glasses, so I can't see too well. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you what? Rest. And this has been, like I mentioned to you at the first, a very important point in our dealings with the ladies in our new little church, in our new little assembly there in Barranquilla. Ladies, we need rest, don't we? I need rest. You need rest. And the Lord has said, I will go before you. Just follow me. And no matter what the circumstance, I'll give you rest. Absolute rest. In the midst of what you're facing, there is rest. There are two things that the devil can take from us. He can't take our salvation. He's mad about that. He can't take away our desire to serve God, because our will is our own, right? I have willed to follow Jesus in salvation, and I will to follow him in obedience for the Christian life and for service. But there are two things he can rob from me, and that is my peace and my joy. And does he do it? He sure does. He sure does. Just at the turn of every day, in just the little nitty-gritty circumstances, he's there just poking little, you know, like little pins into us, robbing our peace and robbing our joy. But God says, I will go before you. He's there. And as you head out the door, here, as soon as we get done, he's going before you for the small, little, insignificant things of life. Because life generally isn't the big things. It's the little ones that do us in. Okay, and we also have Psalm 16:11. Psalm 16:11. You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. Your right hand there are in your right hand there are pleasures forever. Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And that isn't a blank check just for what I think I want. Because to delight yourself, to delight comes from the word to savor. Comes from my, I understand from the Hebrew, kind of the idea of tasting. And so, and you know, there's another verse that says, taste the Lord and see that he's good. We associate our most basic pleasures with eating, right? And I'm going to gain about, I think, 30 pounds because we've already fed ourselves like idiots for a week because, you know, invite you out to eat, you're not going to sit there, oh, no, I can't eat. Oh, everything's so good. And the feast that was left for us in this apartment, I mean, talk about five-star hotel. Your little apartment up here. Now, I don't know if they do that for everybody, but, oh, the quilt on the bed, I just, oh, this is so beautiful. And the kitchen walk-through, Danish. I mean, what are you trying to do to us? You know, it's not fair. Now, the fridge had some good food, you know, like grapes and orange juice and all that kind of, but then there's Danish and there's cream cheese for the bagels and then there's little sausages and, oh, we made pigs of ourselves for breakfast. Anyways, in your presence is fullness of joy, delight in the Lord. Delight means to revel in him. I can only revel in him as I get to know him. And ladies, that's the bottom line. That's what we're trying to communicate to our new believers down there in Barranquilla. Get to know God. Because as we get to know God, then the desires of our hearts will be what he wants for me. Not necessarily what I think I want. Okay, on to F.B. Meyer. Our consolation then is that his presence goes before me. He is with me. He is an ever-abiding presence who is interested in the smallest details of my life. And heaven is the presence of God, is it not? So this, believe it or not, is the beginning of that eternal relationship, which will always be. Tozer says that heaven's going to be like an enormous ocean as far as our experimenting the essence, the qualities, the characteristics of God. God is eternal. He's omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, three omnis. He's love. And his comparison with experiencing the love of God is imagine getting into the ocean in L.A. and trying to swim to Australia. You'll never make it. Not because you'll drown necessarily if you know how to swim and you've got lots of backup around you, but it's just that it's so enormous, it's so vast, it's so immense. But you're immersed in the ocean, you're part of it, and the ocean is compared to God's love. No end to it. And that's what eternity is going to be. But we have the privilege of beginning to taste and experience His ever-abiding presence, His ever-abiding love, His ever-abiding justice, His ever-abiding comfort. Now, why? Because the Christian life is lived in the present tense. He's got several areas that He breaks things into, and we're just going to talk about one thing. His peace, His cleansing, His strength, His love, His comfort are all part of this present tense. And His peace is the one that gets to me the most, because I tend to fret. I tend to worry. I'm glad that none of you worry. I'm glad that none of you fret. So just bear with me, okay, as I comfort myself. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And here we have, oh, we have the Lord's words, which are so special. And I wish I could say that this came into my head, but it came into Meyer's head, and I read it, and it just blessed me tremendously. John, of course, in John 14, 27, the Lord said, "My peace I give unto you." Okay? "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." And He wasn't talking about peace from wars. He wasn't even talking about peace resulting from salvation. He was talking about the present tense of peace in our relationship with Him and walking with Him. And then we get over to John 20. And what's happened in John 20? The empty tomb. Resurrection. Okay? And after the women have been at the tomb and they run off, and two disciples come and discover that it's as they have said, you know, they never believe us. Can you blame men for not believing women? We talk too much and we twist things around too much and we're too subjective. But they came and they, oh, it's for sure. It's just like these ladies said, the tomb's empty. And so the disciples, where are they? They're huddled up in the upper room. They're scared. They're defeated. They're ashamed. Their leader isn't there. They feel abandoned. They're sad. And we get to verse 19, and what does it say? "So when it was evening on that day," the day of resurrection, what we will be celebrating a week from now, "the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst." Now, if it was you and me, what would we have done with this bunch of cowards, these jerks, these idiots, who when the moment came to stand up at least in testimony for their Lord, they scattered like lost sheep. And here they are, scared of their own shadow, sure that the Jews are going to come after them. And the Lord comes, and what does He do? He says, "Peace be with you." Peace. His peace. His peace, ladies, is with us. He doesn't lay into them. He doesn't scold them. He doesn't rag on them. He just shows up in His resurrection body. His presence fills the room, and He says, "Peace be with you." And when He said this, He showed them His hands and His side and all that. And what does that tell you? He speaks to them. He's there. But it's like they still didn't believe it. And you know, you and I are just like that. His promises are here. We've seen Him work yesterday and last week and last month. And yet we're facing an issue. I'm facing an issue on Tuesday. My daughter-in-law's not happy about my being there. My son has said, she's my mother. She's going to stay overnight. And she's going to be with her grandbaby. And I'm upset. I'm scared. I'm wondering what's going to happen. I'm wondering, how do I speak to her? I want her to know how much I love her and how much I pray for her, but I can't tell her that. But He was with me last week. He was with me last month. He's with me now. And so I have to believe that this same one who said, peace be with you, is telling me, peace, peace, and it's not easy. So he shows them his hand, his side. He says, hey, remember what I did for you last week. Remember what I did for you last month. Come on, get with it. And then what did they do? Well, they rejoiced. So Jesus said to them, and it's interesting, this is kind of the peace of the twilight. This is the peace of the dark moment. The peace of that comes when we're either feeling very alone, lonely, desolate. No one else understands. No one else cares. No one else is going to bother about me. He's there, and he's saying, peace, I'm here. There's the peace of the morning, as Meyer puts it, and it's verse 21. So Jesus said to them, again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. This was kind of a precursor to Pentecost, to when the Holy Spirit came on the church. But these disciples needed kind of an extra little boost for those 40 days between the resurrection, or 50 days, I guess it was, and Pentecost. And this is the peace that sends us on our way. This is the peace that will send you out there when we leave today and help you face this afternoon, this evening, with its duties, with its problems, with its troubles. And it's the peace that will accompany you throughout this week. So there's peace in the midst of trouble and defeat sometimes. There is peace as we go out to do just the small duties of life. I've always loved Mary and Martha. You know, Martha really wanted to do what she was supposed to do, but she wasn't at peace, and there was no joy because she was upset, and she wanted her sister to be helping her, and her sister was a lazy good-for-nothing. She just sat in there where she shouldn't even have been, because within the culture, Mary should not have been sitting where the men were. Now, the men were probably reclining in chairs, and she was at least on the floor doing her submission thing. But remember the Lord, I think he had a kind of a merry little sparkle in his eye when she came in full of flour and saying, I told Mary to check the roast in the oven, and she's here and the roast is burning. Now, Lord, come on. I need help. He says, Mary, you're so frustrated. You're so upset. Peace. Peace. Why? Because I'm with you. The peace of the morning. And if you look at verse 27, and this is the best part, time's almost up. After 8 days, his disciples were again together, and who wasn't there the first time? Thomas. And Thomas was with them this time. Jesus came and stood in their midst. He says, peace be with you. The same reassurance that I haven't left you. I'm here. And then he says, Thomas, come here. Come here, Thomas. You know something? This to me is so precious because the Lord loves doubters like myself. We're special. It would seem to be kind of a scolding, but I don't think it was, because we don't know the look in the Lord's eyes when he was talking to Thomas. But he didn't do this to shame Thomas. He was just saying, come on, Thomas, come here. Let me show you. Let me remind you what I did for you yesterday. Let me remind you what I did for you a week ago, a year ago. Let me remind you that I am here and with you. Look, it's me. It's me. Blessed are those who don't see but believe. Or happy are those. But you and I, who are the doubters, we're blessed too, because he is with us. He is present. There are some great, great titles or names that the Lord uses of himself in the Bible. And it's a terrific study. Should do it sometime. creator, Elohim. Yahweh is Jehovah or Lord. El Elyon, the master planner. El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. El Olam, the eternal one, the eternal one. Yahweh Ra, the shepherd. Yahweh Shavos, the mighty warrior. He's fighting your battles for you. Ladies, whatever your battle is, he's fighting it. Yahweh Tzitzku, my righteousness. Yahweh Shama, the ever-present one. Yahweh, and I can't pronounce it, Mekodishim Kem, something like that, the one who sanctifies. He's ever-present, interceding for you and me before the Lord, before God the Father. The Lord Jesus Christ is there, and he's representing us. She blew it again, but Lord, she's my child. She has believed in me, and there we are, justified before the Father. And Yahweh Shalom, he is our peace. These are some of the things we've been trying to work with and share with the ladies down there. Ruth Rios, she's the lady in whose home we meet. And we started in the with the new little assembly, branching off from the main one, in December of 2000, I'm sorry. Oh dear, I am showing my age. 2003. Okay, December 2003, my Jake makes us 2.5 years old. And she graciously offered to have us meet in her living room. Well, since then, by the first year's anniversary, we had to knock down the wall between the living room and the garage. And that's where we're meeting now, and you'll see on the PowerPoint a couple of pictures of our little meeting place. She sells some health products, which have as their colors, the theme is purple and yellow. And so the place is painted in this lovely bright yellow with a purple border up at the top. And she had bought a few yellow chairs. We're talking bright yellow, ladies, really bright yellow, for her meetings with her support groups for this nutrition supplements. So we figured, well, we really have to follow the scheme, you know. So if you came to visit us there, you might do a double turn, as double take as you walk in, but you get used to it, and it's so cheery. It's just really, really great. Anyways, I think that the ladies in our assembly represent how real evangelism should take place. You know, that your family, and you. She found out, she's a very aggressive, outgoing, cheery type person, and very driving, very hard driving, and she has 5 sisters who are all basically the way she is. And before she was saved, they used to get in terrible scraps, fighting all the time. Well, she's had a hard time learning to just shut up, learning not to talk back, learning not to fight back, and of course, her family has been very annoyed with her for having become an evangelical, for having just, you know, gone crazy, as the one sister says. And the one that seemed to be the toughest, who works in administration at the big clinic, which is just kitty corner from where we meet, her name is Jenny, and she for a while tried to really, you know, stuff the gospel down Jenny's throat, and it didn't work. So she finally decided, hey, maybe I'd better just shut up and let God do it. That's a good idea, isn't it? And she did. Well, just a little over a year ago, Yenny put her faith in the Lord Jesus. And Bruce had given them all a challenge, I think it was about a year and a half ago, to hand out 10 tracts a month, but specifically to acquaintances, people that you would have a contact with once again. Because it's one thing to go out and pass out tracts, you know, in the park and what have you, because your chances of meeting up again with these people is just about nil. But this was a challenge to give out at least 10 tracts to people that we know, either in the workplace or at school or neighbors or family. Well, she has given herself a personal goal of 200. And she's done it now for 4 months straight. And we're talking about 200 people with whom she's in contact. Of course, being in administration, in the clinic, she has contact with a lot of people every day. Employees, people that come in, you know, related to patients and all that. And she is one live wire. And, of course, now she and Ruth, just the very fact that they know the Lord and are so happy about it is driving the rest of the family crazy. Dennis is, oh, by the way, Ruth is a widow, and her daughter is 20, 21. She's gotten into also the sale of these products. And she's another live wire, and they've got her traveling. Well, she was in Ecuador last month. She'll be going down to Argentina to represent these products and the sales and how she's managed to get into this and all that. And we're praying for Catherine because Catherine, well, she loves to sing the songs, and so Sunday morning she gets herself out of bed. She'll come to the meeting and just sings away, but that's as far as she'll go. Denise's husband, he actually was involved in a family Bible study that I was giving to their daughter, who is 14 and who accepted the Lord at camp a year ago and is going to be baptized now, I think it's in 3 weeks. While mother and daughter are on Ismael, and Ismael, there's something in his past that's keeping him from accepting the Lord, but he attends every Sunday, and he said to me before we left, he says, well, maybe I'll have a surprise for you, because I'm always just telling him, you know the way, you know the truth, and what's keeping you, because you don't know for sure that you're going to get out of bed tomorrow. Peter says, life's a vapor. And he laughs and he says, yeah, you're right, but I got a few things I have to settle before I put my faith in Christ. Hey, man, there's nothing that you can settle that's going to change the fact that God wants you to put your faith in the Lord. So he said when we left that I might have a surprise for you. I said, well, why don't you give us a surprise before we leave? Anyways, you can pay for Ismael, who's Jenny's husband. And then there's one other friend who, because of previous work relationships, Judy's is her name, has also come to the Lord because of Ruth Rio's testimony. And she worked with this lady. This lady's a difficult personality. She's kind of withdrawn and kind of grumpy and moody. And she has a teenage daughter. She's 17. She has a couple of twin boys who are 12. And then the other boy's 14 going on 15. And her husband, who worked on a ship, stayed in the States. So he's down in Florida. He's been there 4 years. And, of course, he hasn't come back to Columbia because if he leaves, why, then he can't go back to the States because, of course, he's not legal. And so Pedro's in Florida, and he, over the phone at first, said, I don't want you going to that church. And then as the daughter, Paola, who came to know the Lord, the twins just accepted the Lord a month ago, and the son, Pedro, he accepted the Lord in camp this January. So the whole family down here is saved. And Paola testifying to her dad over the phone, and we hope to have the chance to visit the father on our way back now to Florida in August. Testifying through our lives, testifying when the Lord gives us a chance to say something to family, to friends, to neighbors, I believe is ultimately the best way to share the gospel. And each one of us, we don't have to look far. If we want to be able to share our faith with someone, even if it's through a good deed or through just the way we live, we don't have to go far because the Lord will bring the people to us. And I'll leave that as a challenge to you. But more than anything, may His peace go with us. It is there. And if we will just live it, and if we'll just trust Him so that the joy and the peace will be with us. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Your word, Lord, is comfort, is food for our lives. Thank you for each one who's here. And again, Lord, please meet our needs, each one. send us with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.